the story of Esther. The Jews were wicked, and so they were sent away into captivity in Babylon, and Babylon was taken over by Persia. And in those days there was a great king of Persia, and he was very proud, and he had a huge party for all his princes and all the great men of his kingdom. And he commanded his wife Vashti to come and show herself off to all the guests, and she refused. And in those days, a king could just get your head cut off if he didn't like you, let alone if his wife refused to be obedient to him. So he didn't know what to do. And he asked his advisers for advice, and they said, well, we think that the king should get a new queen. And so a great competition was held. All the pretty girls were brought in from all over the empire so that the king could choose.
And maybe some of the people which were showing their girls to the king, and the king didn't choose one of those girls, maybe they married that girl or something like that.
Well, we don't know, but anyway, there was a pretty girl called Esther, and she was a Jewess, one of the Jews. And she didn't have a mummy and daddy, but she had her uncle Mordecai, who looked after her. And Mordecai said, Esther, why don't you go in for the competition to become maybe the queen of the nation? Now, really, a good servant of God wouldn't seek such great things for themselves. She wouldn't want to be the wife of a king who got drunk and who did bad things and who didn't believe in God. But anyway, she said yes, and Mordecai wanted this, so she went in for the competition, and she won. The king thought she was the loveliest of them all, and so she became the queen. And we're going to see, as the story works out, how God worked through that wrong decision, because we shouldn't marry people who are not believers. And she didn't do the right thing, but God worked through that in this case. So Mordecai, her uncle, also worked at the palace in Shushan. And he heard that there was a plot to kill the king. And there were two men who were going to do this wicked thing to kill the king. And he told Esther when he heard about it and said, warn the king. And so she went to the king and said, there's two men trying to kill you. And so it was. And the king was very grateful to Esther and to her uncle Mordecai.
Well, when Mordecai said that, it was like, go and tell your husband that someone's going to kill you, save your own husband.
Well, that's
which
right.
The queen was married.
That's
if
right.
Esther was married to the king.
That's right. Which
she made
was.
Her queen.
That's right. So it was also, as you say, it was also good for Esther to do that, to save her own position.
And Esther, she'll mean that because only Jews, not people, not a Jews allowed to be in that.
That's right. So she was secret about being a Jew. She didn't tell the king. She kept it a secret. Well, we shouldn't keep our love of God a secret. We should be open about it, but she wasn't. But anyway, as we'll see, God worked through this. Well, there was a man who was very powerful in the kingdom of the king there in Persia, called Haman, who was a wicked man. And Haman was very proud, and he expected everybody to bow down to him whenever they saw him in the street. But Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman because he knew that it was written in God's law that a Jew should only worship God. So he refused to bow down to Haman, and Haman got more and more annoyed about this. He was so proud, he got so angry. And so he decided that he would kill Mordecai and all the Jews. So because he got mad with Mordecai, he then went on to get mad with all the Jewish people, because Mordecai was a Jew, and that's how you find people reason. Oh, I don't like you, so therefore I don't like your mummy and daddy and your brother and your sister and all your relatives, etc.
And all your family. I don't like all of your family.
That's right. So this is the sort of example of human nature that we get in the Bible, and we've got to not be like that and deal with people as individuals, not because of their association with other people. But anyway, he went to the king and he said, oh, king, I'll pay you a huge amount of money if you agree that we will kill all the Jews and take away from them all their wealth. And the king agreed. Now, you see, he didn't know that Esther, his beloved wife, was actually a Jew.
So if God did not work like that, Esther would have been killed, since she was a Jew and the king didn't know that.
That's right. That's, if she had come out and said that she was Jewish, she would have been killed. So Mordecai went to Esther and said, Esther, you've got to do something. You've got to ask the king that he'll change his law. But the Persian kings didn't like to change their laws. They were so proud. Once a law was made, that was it. And Esther didn't know what to do. She was a young woman and she wasn't allowed really to meet with Mordecai very much. She was there, kept in the palace. It was almost like being in prison. And she didn't know. And Mordecai said to her, look, you must do this. And eventually she said, well, if I perish, I perish. I will. And she asked the other Jews to fast for her. That means to not eat. And I'm sure they prayed to God as well. And so they were all fasting and, I guess, praying for her. And then she came to the king. And in those days, the queen couldn't come to see the king without the king asking her to come. And he hadn't asked her to come and see him for nearly a month. And so she was very nervous. She went before him and bowed down, and then he held out his scepter, his golden scepter, and said, yes, Esther, what can I do for you? And she said, could you and Haman please come to a tea party? Yes, of course you can. I'll come to the tea party with you, said the king. And Haman was very proud that I've been invited to a tea party with the queen. Only me and the king and the queen. So the next day, the king and Haman came to Esther's tea party, and they enjoyed themselves. And the king said to Esther, what would you like, my dear, up to the half of my kingdom? And Esther was supposed to say, well, can you change the law about killing the Jews? And I'm a Jew. But she lost her nerve. She didn't. She said, could you please just come to a tea party tomorrow, another tea party tomorrow? Ah, certainly, said the king. And Haman beamed with pride that he'd been invited to a second tea party. Now, we're going to see that that weakness of Esther was used by God. Because Haman went home and boasted to Zeresh, his wife, that I have been invited to another tea party. But he said, what can I do with this Haman. It just so annoys me that he won't bow down at my feet because he's a Jew. And so he built a gallows on which to hang Haman. And he thought, He thought, tomorrow I will go and see the king and queen and I'll just ask for permission to have Mordecai hung on my gallows that I've built. Well, that night, the king couldn't sleep, and something was bothering him, but he couldn't think what it was.
Now, that might have been about Mordecai, I don't know.
Well, he was so worried, he just asked his servants to come and read to him from his diary about things that had happened in the past, and they read to him the account of how Mordecai had saved his life when his two servants had tried to kill him. And he said to them, is it written in my diary that I did anything nice to Mordecai? No, they said, you didn't do anything to Mordecai to reward him. Ah, said the king, maybe that's what's bothering me in my conscience, that I haven't rewarded Mordecai for doing good to me. Okay, he thought, well, in the morning I'll get Haman to just reward Mordecai. So, in the morning, Haman came in the morning to see the king, thinking that he was going to ask the king for permission to kill Mordecai. And he came in, and the king greeted Haman with a question. He said, Haman, what would be done? What should be done for the man whom the king delights to honour? And Haman was so proud, he thought, what man is there whom the king wants to honour apart from myself? He said, well, I think that for the man whom the king delights to honour, the man should be put on the king's horse, and one of the king's servants should lead him around the city and show him off to all the people. Okay, said the king to Haman, I want you to do that for Mordecai. Haman must have thought, what? I've come to ask the king to kill Mordecai, and he tells me to put Mordecai on a horse, the king's horse, and lead him round the city and shout out in front of him, this is what is being done to the man whom the king delights to honour. And that is what Haman had to do to Mordecai.
Now that was all the wrong way round for Haman, because he intended to kill him.
That's right. So he must have thought, uh-oh, things are going wrong for me. So he went back after he'd done that. He went home to see Zeresh, his wife, and told her what had happened. And she said, you started to fall before this man. Well, he then had to quickly get himself ready and go to meet the king and Esther. Well, Esther had prepared the yummiest tea party, and the king again said to her, my dear, what would you like? I'll do it for you, even up to half of my kingdom. And in a very nervous voice, she said, please spare my life and the life of my people. I am a Jew, a Jewess, and there's a man who wants to kill me and my people. Who is that man? Asked the king. She pointed to Haman and said, this wicked Haman. The king was very angry. He got up and went out into the palace garden just to cool off. Just like we should, if we get really upset about something, don't go and say things that you're going to regret. Just go out for a walk in the garden. Well, he did. And when he came in, Haman had collapsed. He was so frightened, he'd collapsed on the queen's sofa. And of course, the king was even more angry. And the king ordered his servants to bind Haman, and they said, you know, O king, he was planning to hang Mordecai on gallows that he's built. Well, hang him on the gallows, said the king. And that's what they did. And then Esther came again to the king and said, please, can I ask you another favour? Yes, he said. Please allow the Jews to defend themselves on the day that Haman had said they must be killed, and also for the day after. And the king agreed, and he made Mordecai a great ruler in the land, and he sent out his messengers on their horses all over his empire to say, don't kill the Jews, and if anybody does, they are to be punished, and the Jews have the right to defend themselves. And so there was great joy in the land, and many of the people of the empire became Jews. They accepted the God of Israel because they saw what a wonderful God he was and how wonderfully he works for people.
So it might have been half Persian, half Jewish.
Yes, well, although they were Persians, they accepted the God of Israel, and God was always willing to accept Gentiles who wanted to accept him as their God. And to this day, the Jews keep a feast, a holiday called Purim, where they give gifts to one another to celebrate their great gift that God had given them of salvation.
Like a birthday or Christmas or something like that.
Yes, yeah,
something like
that.
To celebrate this nice day that they had.
That's right. Just as we keep the breaking of bread to celebrate the fact that we have been saved. So Esther was very weak and very nervous and probably very young as well. And so God worked through this nervous, young, not very spiritually strong girl, really, in order to save many people and to get the wicked Haman judged. So you see how God works. And actually, when you read the book of Esther, do you know you never read the word God in the whole book? And that's not because God wasn't active. It's to show us that often God is very active in our lives, but quietly and not open and upfront, but he works in a wonderful way. Just like the king not being able to sleep that night, and forgetting to reward Mordecai for the good he had done, and the way that Mordecai could find out about the plot against the king's life, and all those things. And although you're young, if you give your life to God and serve God all your days, you can look back, like Daddy can, and see how everything worked together for good. And that's what Paul says in the New Testament, that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose.